We're glad to see everybody here this morning and appreciate our visitors coming back from the cruise. And sorry to hear that one of you was not feeling well coming back from the cruise, but we hope she's better soon. Again, I wanted to thank or mention that we're so happy for Edison and Coraline being baptized, and also Coulter, I want to mention, he was baptized not long ago also. And it's so encouraging to see these young people taking to heart the truth of God and wanting it to make that in a part of their life at this early time in their lives. So we pray for them and love all of them so much. On the evening of September the 5th, 2018, late that evening, Amber Geiger, who is a former police officer, came home late at night that night to her apartment building in Dallas, Texas, and she got off on the wrong floor of her elevator. And she went to what she thought was her apartment door and inserted the key. And as it turned out, it opened because the owner had not locked the door. And so she was in the wrong apartment, but she didn't realize that. And she was carrying a concealed permit. And the owner, whose name was Buffum Jean, or he was known as Bo Jean, walked out of his room and saw her in the living room of his home. And he began to take a step towards her. And so she drew her weapon and pointed it directly at him and said, "Stop and show your hands." But for some reason, he did not do that. He kept advancing, maybe because it was his own apartment. And she said later that she feared for her life, and so she fired two shots. And when she turned on the lights, she was horrified to realize she was not in her own apartment. So she waited for the 911 police to come, and she tried to apply CPR, but he was dead on arrival. This young man, Buffum Jean. And the interesting thing about this was that he and his whole family are members of the West Church of Christ in Dallas. An amazing thing happened during the trial that followed when Amber Geiger was being held on trial for this accidental murder. As she said, she did not know where she was. She was in the wrong place and thought that her life was in danger. But as she was on trial, she expressed great remorse for what she had done and broke down in tears repeatedly during her testimony. And at the end of the trial, during the sentencing part of the trial, Bo Jean's brother, younger brother, Brant, was, many other people also were given the opportunity to express their thoughts at that time of how his death had impacted their lives in such a horrible way. And so When he was on the witness stand, he made an amazing statement that became widely circulated. He turned to her during his time on the witness stand, and he made this statement to her. He said, "I love you like anyone else." He said, "I'm not going to sit here and say, I hope you rot in prison the rest of your life." He said, "I actually want what is best for you. And if you are truly sorry, and it appears that you are, for this horrifying mistake," he said, "I forgive you. More importantly," he said, "I know that if you will go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you too." He said, "Amber, I think giving your life to Christ is the best way, the best thing you could do for my brother Bo. For he would love to see you again, I'm sure, on the other side." The attorney, district attorney, in this case, later made the statement, said, "In my 37 years of law practice," he said, "I never have seen anything like that in all those years." Brent Jean then looked at the judge and asked if he could go to Amber, who was crying, and give her a Bible and give her a hug. And the judge was also in tears by this time, and the judge said yes. So he walked around the witness stand, hugged Amber, and she gave him a big bear hug back. And she accepted the Bible, and she is now in prison. So this young man, this young Christian, did an amazing thing on a stage that was published out to all through the world. Have heard about that testimony that he gave that day. But it is a testimony to really Christ and the forgiveness that Christ teaches us to have, which is a very difficult subject for many of us to fully understand and understand how we are to apply it in our life. We understand that forgiveness really is the heart of the gospel. And we understand that as God has forgiven us, we then, in turn, have a responsibility to forgive others. And this should be really a way of life for all of us. That when it comes to our marriages, for example, there's probably not any two words more important, or I should say three words, "I forgive you," maybe just as important, if not more, then "I love you." But when it comes to forgiveness of we as Christians forgiving others, I think there are many questions that come up as to how we are to apply that in our lives. Do I have to forgive a person before they come and ask for forgiveness? Before they express that they are sorry or repenting of what they have done? Is it our responsibility to forgive them unconditionally? Or is it to be on the basis of their repentance? Well, we understand that what the Bible says about God is that God is ready to forgive. In Psalm 86 and verse 5, he said, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Now, as we look at that statement, we can see here from God's character that God is ready to forgive. But this does not mean that He forgives unconditionally. In fact, I don't know of anywhere in the Bible that God has ever forgiven anyone without repentance on their part. God is ready to forgive, but that doesn't mean that He automatically forgives. We know that Jesus came into the world so that He could give His sacrifice so that God in His justice would be able to forgive our sins on the basis of Christ's death and sacrifice. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we as Christians who have accepted and obeyed Christ and entered into a relationship with Him, told that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That promise of forgiveness is the basis of our hope that we have. If that were not true, none of us could have any real hope of heaven in our life. So we cling to that promise that God is ready to forgive and that He promises that when we come to Him and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But again, does that mean that if I sin against someone, do I need to ask them for forgiveness? Or is it their responsibility to forgive me automatically? Or wait until they come and ask? I think these are legitimate questions that many Christians wonder about this. And it's such an important aspect of what it is to be a Christian that we ought to take the time to look into the Scripture and see what the Bible says about this so that we might be better prepared. Well, in Matthew 6 and verse 14 and 15, we know that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So in some degree, of some measure here, Christ is teaching us that in order for God to continue to forgive our sins, it's necessary for us to be willing to forgive one another when we are sinned against. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul, he says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you." God is the standard in this, as Paul explains here, that as God has forgiven you, we are now to forgive each other. And we are to have that readiness to forgive, that tender-hearted attitude where when someone sins against us, we don't carry that as a grudge or a feeling of bitterness that because you have sinned against me, now that gives me the right to do something back to you to get even. Instead, we are commanded by these scriptures to have the heart of Christ and to have the heart of God to be willing to forgive when we have been sinned against, as was true that God was willing to forgive us. What is the definition of forgiveness? Well, it is usually defined like this, that is an attitude of heart which restores the offender to the former state and affections of the offended one. In other words, it restores the relationship. That when there has been a sin that has broken that relationship, when we forgive that person, we return back to the same feelings and the way that we were, things were before. We do not hold that against them. We wipe the slate clean. And so the test to know if you have truly forgiven that person is, do you feel as kindly toward them as you did before? And is the relationship restored? So those are important questions for us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I willing to forgive that person that has wronged me? That I have a tendency in my heart to be bitter towards them because of what they have done. Am I willing to put that behind and go forward and treat them the same as they were before? That is what forgiveness really involves. There is a vertical forgiveness that we receive from God, and there is a horizontal forgiveness that we are to give to one another. So when God forgives us, how does He treat the one that He has forgiven? And that is a beautiful thing, that when we look into God's Word, we find that when God has forgiven us, He puts our sins away, entirely away. He never will bring that up again against us. And He doesn't. In Psalm 103, verse 10 through 12, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Now, once again, we need to look at that verse carefully, because it does not indicate that God automatically forgives sins of everyone. Sometimes today we hear the idea being taught or said that, well, we should just automatically forgive people if they have done something wrong to you. They don't need to repent. They don't need to come and ask for your forgiveness. We should just automatically forgive them. But is that how God forgives people? Here it says that His great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. So when we respect and reverence and serve God, God has great mercy to us in His willingness. And when He takes our sins, He puts them as far as the east is from the west. He puts them completely afar out of sight, that they will never be brought up again against us. Is that how we do with those that sin against us? It needs to be based on that standard in our life. That we need to have that same willingness, that when a person does repent and ask for forgiveness, we need to be willing to put that away and never bring that up again against that person. That's how God treats us. When He forgives us, the relationship is restored, and He does not hold that against us any longer. When David sinned against Bathsheba in his lifetime, later David wrote some beautiful psalms that he expressed his penitence before God. In Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, David wrote about his sin, and he expressed his forgiveness and his sorrow for what he had done. He said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from this sin." He said, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." So David went to God and he confessed his sin and he asked God to forgive him. And God did forgive him. Whenever we read of David in the New Testament, we hear of him only in a positive way. We do not hear anything brought up in the New Testament about his sin with Bathsheba. So God forgave him of his sins. And God does that with us. When we go to God and As John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever the Bible speaks of our sins, it uses sometimes, like in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So rather than saying forgive us of our sins, it said forgive us of our debts. And that is suggesting that when we do sin against God, that we owe a debt. We have caused Him, that we owe Him a debt. And what God does is He cancels that debt. He says, I forgive you. I take that away. I blot it out. It's no longer there as far as I am concerned with you. And our relationship can return to normal. That's what forgiveness does. Forgiveness says, I'm going to let go of the way I feel because of what you have done. But what I'm saying is that in the Bible, it's contingent on repenting. That whenever God has forgiven someone, it's always when that person has returned and repented before God. Colossians 3 and verse 13, he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So it's not an optional thing for us as Christians. That when a fellow Christian, we have sinned against them or they have sinned against us, and it does happen, and it sometimes is something that we find happening now and again, that we aren't perfect with each other, and sometimes we need to ask forgiveness of something that we have done. But he said, as God forgave you, so you must do. We must forgive, and we must put that behind us and no longer hold that grudge against that person. Our bitter feelings, we have to forgive them in our heart and treat them again the way it was before that happened. So restore them to the former relationship contingent upon they have repented. Now, that brings up, though, the question that many people, I think, have about when Jesus was on the cross, and in Luke 23 and verse 34, Jesus, as He was being nailed to the cross, He turned and He prayed, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here were people at this point that had not repented, and yet Jesus expressed to His Father His heart of willingness to forgive them and asking God to forgive them. But the terms that God is willing to forgive has always been on the basis of repentance. Not without repentance, but with repentance. When Jesus was praying to His Father, Father, forgive them, He would be praying in an understanding of how God would normally be willing to forgive. That God is a God of mercy. God is a God who's willing to put our sins from the east to the west away from us. But it's on the basis of repentance. It always has been. And He understood, Jesus understood that because of His sacrifice that was being given, that would be possible for God to forgive sins. So on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, and he said here in Acts 2 and verse 36, to let all the house of Israel know that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And it said, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And so Peter said, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus, when he prayed to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, if that meant that Christ automatically forgave them and God automatically forgave them, then why would it be necessary for them on the day of Pentecost to be told, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Peter should have said, in that case, he said, well, your sins are already forgiven. Jesus prayed for you when he was on the cross. But that wasn't the case, because God does not forgive sins unless there is repentance that takes place. But when it does, God is willing to forgive. And so we can only believe that there were people that day that called for Jesus to be nailed to the cross, and even some of those Roman soldiers perhaps who drove the nails through his hands, that some of those same persons later received the truth of Christ and were, in fact, indeed forgiven of their sins as Jesus prayed. But we have, as I say, there are many people today, some who take the position that what the Bible is saying is that we need to automatically forgive people and always, just whether they have repented or not, to forgive them. In Luke 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. And he goes on to say here, and if he comes to you seven times in one day and sins against you, and seven times he comes and repents, forgive him. So there is no limit to the willingness on our part to be ready to forgive the one who comes again. But what about the one who does not come to us? The one who does not express that I repent or I am sorry or will you forgive me for what I did? I believe the Bible is saying that there are really two ways that we can forgive a person. One, on the basis of forgiveness or repentance on their part, in which we truly forgive their sins and restore the relationship. But there is another sense in which we do not hold a bitterness against that person, and we in our hearts are willing to forgive them, but their forgiveness still is based upon their willingness to repent. And so Jesus, when he is on the cross, was praying to his Father, Father, I do not hold a bitterness against these people. They do not know what they are doing. And I want you to forgive them on the condition that they come and seek it in the proper way, that you will not continue to hold this against them, what they are doing to me. In the same way, when there is a person that has sinned against us, and yet they have not repented, should we continue to hold a bitterness in our heart toward that person for the rest of our life that will only burden us and fill us with anger and hatred and bitterness? Why can't we, as Jesus did, say, Father, forgive them. I forgive them in my heart. And I do not hold that bitterness against them, even though they have not come and repented and asked forgiveness. I release it, and I am not going to carry that around in my heart any longer. It's only bringing bitterness to me, and I don't want that. I want to have a heart of forgiveness like Jesus has. We're told in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 and 5, that when it comes to discipline within the church, that we are to deliver that person to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We understand that that is based on efforts have been made to go to the person, to speak with them, to bring them to repentance. But the purpose of withdrawing from them is still for that purpose, to bring them back to repentance so that they can be restored back in a relationship with God. And if they are unwilling, then eventually we take an action of discipline to withdraw from that person. Well, there are many questions that I'm sure that we all have, and one of those questions is, well, I'll forgive, but I will never forget what happened. And that's a human tendency on our part, that when someone has sinned against us, we may say, well, I'm willing to forgive, but I'm not going to forget it. And it really brings up the fact, is it even possible to forget it? That, let's say, a husband has committed adultery with his wife, and he may come and ask for forgiveness from her. Does that mean she is say, I'll forgive this and I will never forget. I will never forget it. It's totally gone. It's not possible for her to do that. She's going to remember what happened, but she can forgive him and restore the relationship if she chooses to do that. Usually when a person says, I'll forgive, but I'm not willing to forget, it indicates bitterness is still there. And that's the problem. That is where we need to be willing to release that bitterness and let that person know, if possible, I don't hold that against you. Even though what you did was wrong and it hurt me and it has hurt me, I'm not going to allow that bitterness to stay in my mind and my heart. So Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From your heart you need to forgive your brother. And that means to release that bitterness, get rid of that from within yourself. Sometimes we think of Hebrews 8 verse 12 also, where God says that in the new covenant, he said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now does that mean that God forgives our sins and he does not even remember that it ever happened? That God begins to lose hold of that memory, that it's almost like amnesia at that point where God just, he remembers it no more? Or is he saying, I will not hold it against you ever again? I believe what the scripture is teaching us is that God, when he forgives our sins, puts it away, he wipes the slate clean, he does not hold it again. But whether that means that God doesn't know that we have ever sinned, I believe the Bible teaches that God is always aware that we are saved by his grace. That it's because of his grace that our sins have been forgiven. Jesus' standard here, once again, in Luke 17, verse 3 through 5, is the one that I think we need to look at. He says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So it's not optional on our part to forgive the person who comes and seeks forgiveness. And in Matthew 18 and verse 21 and 22, Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus is saying there's no limit to being willing to forgive the person who returns and is willing to repent. Think about the prodigal son in the parable of the prodigal son of Luke chapter 15. The son left home, and the father did not go after him. But all through that time, we know the father was waiting and looking for his son to return. And when he did return, the Bible says he ran to him and fell on his neck and kissed him and said, "Let us have a feast. My son, which was dead, has returned." That is the forgiveness that God is seeking from each one of us. And I believe that this young man, Brant Gene, when he stood on the witness stand and he gave that beautiful testimony, was expressing just exactly how Jesus would have each one of us to respond to people who have done wrong. That is the beauty of Jesus Christ in our life, the blessing of forgiveness that He extends to us. In the Gospel, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, when Peter is preaching this second sermon in the book of Acts, he comes to verse 19 and he said, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing may come. And that's how God forgives us of our sins. He wipes the slate clean. He gives us a fresh beginning. And He restores the relationship. And that is how we need to be willing to be with one another. If you're here this morning, thank you for your attention. And we're going to stand and sing the invitation song that is number 272. If you're subject in any way, we invite you to come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow.